This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to an In Conversation with on Elgin Talks. My guest today is someone you could refer to as one of the city's true authorities on all things real assets related. He joined Elgin in 2007 after roles at Deutsche Bank and Schroders. More recently, he was appointed a UK Built Environment Climate Ambassador by the UK Green Building Council to mobilise the real estate industry at COP26. As well as chair of the Property Industry Alliance, he's now Global Head of Real Assets at Elgin. He is, of course, Bill Hughes, and he joins me now. Bill, welcome to Elgin Talks.
Thanks, Francis. Great to be here.
Great to have you on. Now, as your title suggests, Bill, you live and breathe buildings. Growing up, was that always the case?
Well, growing up, I guess I didn't necessarily fully appreciate the world of investment in the built environment, but I did a degree in geography and human geography in at Edinburgh. One of the things that came out of that is it sort of enhanced my interest in how society interacts with its built environment and in totality, how cities work, how the relationship between cities and other parts of society interact. So that's really where my interest particularly started in my very early 20s.
And no lovelier place than Edinburgh to learn all about that. So what then brought you into the world of real assets? I mean, what was the trigger then, Bill?
I came out of university and I was hired to do things around development consultancy, then research. I guess I found that the relationship between investment and what society needed was inefficient and wasn't functioning particularly well. So it intrigued me. What could we do better? How would that work? Massive opportunity. Because, of course, the built environment always needs to evolve and society is always changing. So it's intrinsically an interesting challenge to marry those two things together and get to a productive environment.
That is interesting because you're sort of looking, if we can use the term ESG so quickly in this interview, you're looking at the S almost, aren't you? The sort of social aspects of building and the role they play in society. But you joined Legal & General in 2007, which was a pretty tough time. Even I can remember that far back, a few months ahead of the run on Northern Rock, and I remember that too. And of course, then we had the GFC. A lot of uncertainty there in markets, Bill, and in property prices. How did you cope with all that turmoil? What got you through?
Well, there was a lot to do. Actually, it's a great time to start a business when there's chaos around in the environment that you're working within, because then you can make changes. I think we had to be thoughtful, we had to be creative, we had to be brave, and that's all very exciting, really. You know, there were problems to solve. There was an unprecedented situation emerging, which is now known as the global financial crisis. And I felt privileged to be in an important role in an important company with a lot of responsibility. So I was very fired up by that environment. We just had to figure out how to solve the issues in front of us. And we came out and emerged from that environment stronger than we'd gone into it.
And that's interesting. And of course, from one crisis to another and COVID. And that's been a huge challenge, I imagine, for you to deal with and still is. I mean, in terms of office occupancy, Bill, we're still not up to pre-pandemic levels. Do you think as a result of that, then, that COVID's changed the face of big cities? And I'm thinking London in particular. I mean, you're working in London now. Do you think it's changed?
Not fundamentally. I think it's accelerated some things that we'd seen before in terms of how people live, work, play. There is more of an emphasis on thoughtful quality of life choices, but I don't think it undermines the role of a city. Perhaps the issue is cities need to adapt, but they've always had to do that. They need to ensure that they maintain an element of attraction for people, that they provide amenity, quality of life. That's the challenge really now, I suppose, to the mayors and governance around cities. But it's not a fundamental change. I think lots of people will always want to be in the vibrant clusters that we call cities, where industry thrives, where talent is going to be attracted. Look, of course, there is now the establishment of hybrid work as something that we do, and it was partly there before the pandemic. It's just been, you know, amplified a little bit and become more conventional. But I don't think it undermines the role of a city in terms of economic productivity and entertainment and tourism. So things are coming back to life slowly. We're sitting here on a Thursday morning, Francis, and the last couple of evenings I've been out in London, it's very, very vibrant again, and there's people spilling out into the streets and enjoying the environment after the work in the office.
That's good to know.
But office occupancy has been slow to recover, and I think that's partly taking a little bit while to settle. My own view is that office occupancy will increase, that there'll be a little bit of an interlude to allow owners and occupiers of offices to figure out what the modified world looks like. But I definitely don't subscribe to the office is dead.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, look, from London to Glasgow, where, of course, last year you travelled up to COP26, and that must have been pretty amazing. Just tell us what the vibe was. That's the in-word, isn't it? Tell us what the vibe was for you there, and did it really firm your resolve, Bill, to be more proactive in the ESG space? I mean, you talked a lot, and your whole team talks a lot about sustainable buildings and the need to establish, you know, net zero carbon emissions by 2050, if not sooner. How did COP really firm those resolutions up for you?
Yeah. So, Francis, you're absolutely right. We've been committed as a business to what's now called ESG, but we used to call it sustainability for 15 odd years. So it's in our approach to investing in the built environment has been for 15 years. Glasgow at COP26 was a moment in time, really interesting, and I was delighted to be there. The thing I would remember from it, probably above all else, the surprising impression I got is that everyone seemed to be either really pessimistic about what society is doing and how we're failing to respond quickly enough, and this is problematic and very difficult, or really optimistic about the fact that things are changing and that the efforts are turning into actions and we're making a difference and everyone's on the same page and we can work together to really change things with governments and private sector and other entities working together. So it was a mixture of extreme pessimism and extreme optimism, which seemed surprising. Well, not so much. Look, the reality of it is that all of that's true. Of course, it is the environment. Humankind has got itself into is definitely an emergency, and you know, we've spent decades not paying attention. We've been consuming and not conserving, and now this decarbonisation impetus is upon us, and there are people really making a difference. And of course, there is a lot to be excited by, and it's the biggest investment opportunity of my lifetime in many ways. But we have to act, and it will be the thoughtful, especially long-term investment companies that will do relatively well. And we need to make sure, if we're in a leader, which I want to be, we need to make sure that we take others with us and, you know, fully capitalize upon the opportunity we have and the obligation we have to decarbonize the world we live in. Strange experience, really, Francis, but I think we need to be constructive and more optimistic than navel-gazing pessimism.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, another area where you feel passionately about, I know, is regeneration and levelling up, which was part of the government's agenda too. And you've talked about, you know, marrying the public and the private capital. I'm just wondering, though, I mean, we've had a huge pandemic. The government has opened its purse very generously there. And so government finances are quite stretched. Does this mean that the role that you, as you know, as private capital providers play, has that put a greater emphasis on you?
The short answer is yes. You're right that government is indebted centrally and also at a local level. So the role that private capital plays, both in terms of capital itself and also the skills that come with it, is become more important. I do think the levelling up agenda is recently a buzzword created by this government, but really we've been, as LNG, been involved in this for some time. It's really about looking to unleash the full potential of a range of towns and cities around the UK away from London, because London has been incredibly successful in aggregate at creating its own role in the world and being a global financial capital and a centre of excellence in many things. The private sector needs to lead more, show more vision. LNG's aspirations in that space have been growing year on year, and we're really excited about the potential there. Working with partners at a local level and central government, and I feel we're making real progress, but a lot to do.
And how do you think we can get better at showing the economic contribution of the real assets industry as a whole?
I can certainly say that at LNG, we have a very clear sense of social purpose, that we're trying to use the long-term capital that we're guardians of to make a positive difference. And I'm really proud of a lot of the things that we've achieved over really quite a long period of time. We don't necessarily fully get credit for that from from the population, in the sense that it's more commonplace for there to be, you know, newspaper coverage or some sort of media coverage about the disruption that development causes, or the unfairness of the wealth created in one particular location, or the displacement of a community by a short-term, unthinking developer. And I don't think we as an industry, we at LNG, have necessarily fully got our heads around how we position what we do that is constructive, positive, about productivity for all, inclusive capitalism. I don't think we've got good enough about conveying that. We're better than we used to be, Francis. Actually, we are, but there's more to be done. I've actually instituted a piece of work just lately in LNG about all of the social impact investing that we've done over the past decade, and it's a huge database. And we haven't really received media coverage or recognition for much of that. So I do think there's more to be done. Not that we're looking to given any sort of accolades here or awards or anything. Much more because the more that the good we can do is recognized, the more government and the public sector is likely to engage with us, and then the more we can do. We can amplify the impact of our private capital contribution for all of society, really.
You're very much promoting the diversity and inclusion side of the business, and I've been on in meetings with you where you've been very keen to promote that, and I just think you are so well established. You've got to where you want to be. But I'm just looking at the younger people coming through today and who may be interested in the built environment, but who may know nothing about it. They may be from more traditional backgrounds. They may be from different ethnic backgrounds. I mean, if you were sitting in front of one at the moment and, he or she was, 20 plus, what would you say that there was a key selling point as to why they should join your firm and why they would have fun along the way, I suppose?
Yeah, it's a good challenge. I think the pitch is essentially about come into this industry so that you can really make a positive difference. I think that's really what it's about. People may walk around, you know, a town or a city in the UK and not really fully appreciate how, you know, offices, retail, renewable energy, community centres, how that all comes about and who are the decision makers that really think about that. So the pitch is, look at the built environment. We're a massive participant in how that gets put together. We think about people and productivity and well-being in all that we do. And, you know, you come and work in our industry and you can really make a difference there and start to change and improve how the built environment exists in the UK. And that's an important part of how our country evolves and thinks about, you know, thriving in the 21st century and the whole transition to net zero and the greening of what we do, decarbonisation, electric vehicles, the whole mission about changing society, something people can participate in rather than be passive. That's what it's about. Now, the fun thing is it's about, you know, bipartite or tripartite or multiple negotiations with people. It's about working with people because people are the ones that make the decisions. And so it's for anyone who likes to interact with a variety of individuals with a very eclectic, wide-ranging set of activities, it's a fantastic industry.
Great. Some good tips there, Bill. Thank you. So just on a personal note then, and to end on, you work extremely hard. I know that from when I email you late at night. So when you do take your holiday, Bill, this year, if you are having one, how sustainable will it be and where are you going?
Well, Francis, the two things that I spend time doing in my spare time, and it includes being the locus of my holidays. One is cycling. So I'll get on a bike and cycle from anywhere to anywhere, typically in Europe. And the other thing I do is get on a train and go north and wander around Northumberland or Scotland, occasionally fishing for a salmon and putting it back, but generally just being out in the countryside. So I tend to do that via public transport. I'm frequently seen on a train with a bike and getting off somewhere. That's what gives me maximum benefit downtime. I think my subconscious ponders things when I'm fishing or cycling, but clearly I'm recharging subconsciously when I do that.
That sounds wonderful. Fresh air and a bit of sport. That sounds wonderful. And both beautiful places. I love Northumbria and all around there. Bill, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. A really interesting chat. I feel I've got to know you a little bit more than I did before. So thank you for that. And thank you to all our listeners. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn and our website, elgim.com.
Copyright 2021, Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.